Story of conversion and a pretty amazing path to the priesthood. And several times I've been there when he's told the story of his conversion. When he was a teenager, a young man, he actually became a thief. And he was actually the leader of a group of thieves who their principal objective were jewels. And they would go to the jewel stores and they would first scope out in the jewel store all that was there. And then they would figure out how they could go into the store, distract, get the jeweler to get things out, distract them, or break into some part of the jewel store while the jeweler was distracted. And through that method, they actually had a lot of success stealing jewels and stealing valuable jewels. And they continued. They were on the run, avoiding the police and making hit after hit. And it was going well for them. And they used to go out to celebrate and spend some of the money that they were making. And they would go to the clubs. And you guys can imagine what was there in the clubs. But it's really interesting that Father Higinio, he's told us that while his other companions did all sorts of things in those clubs, his vice, his only real vice, was playing cards. He would be there playing cards until late at night and gambling with his money. But he never went off with the girls, the women there. He never got drunk either. And he said it's because he realized that he wanted to have his mind clear always. He realized, even though he was a thief, that all of that muddled up his mind. That all of that darkens and lessens our ability to see. So they were, he was living this life, but eventually it caught up with him, as you can imagine. The police were after the trail of this group of thieves, and eventually they caught him. And they caught all his companions, and he himself was taken into the police department. They interrogated him. Because they were thieves and they knew how to lie, they avoided some of the charges, but they got thrown in prison. And he was sent to prison, and he tells us that in those times in Spain, prisons were prisons. Nowadays, they have PlayStation, and they're treated better than lots of people who are outside of the prison. But he said in those days, prisons were prisons. And he received beatings from the prison guards. They threw him downstairs, and they would beat him, and he would curse back to them. How different is that from how Jesus suffers all the insults that he received? But he would, this Father Higinio, he would curse back, and his heart, he says, became harder and harder when he was there in the prison. And he spent a good time there. But it all changed one day when he was called into the room where you can meet with people from outside the prison that come to visit you. And you went into the meeting room, and who was sitting at the table? At the other side of the table, his mother was waiting for him. And he went in and he sat down. And he looked at his mother, who was looking at him. She saw her face full of sadness, full of pain. And she said one thing to him. She said, "My son, what have you done?" And when he heard those words, and when he saw her face, when he saw the sadness that was in her face, but he also saw the love that was in her face, he said that that broke his hard heart. His heart broke. It melted before that gaze of his mother, and he began to cry. This hard criminal, this thief, his heart was broken by the love from the gaze, the love and the pain of his mother. And that was the beginning of a complete turnaround in his life. Another, for all of us, that's an example of how the gaze of Jesus should affect us. And in this time of prayer today, we can all ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us in our meditation, to contemplate the face of Jesus, to contemplate his gaze, which looks at each one of us. Which looks at each one of us. What does he want to tell you? What does Jesus want to tell you? Each one of us should look for that gaze in prayer, receive that gaze, and hear what the Lord wants to tell us. Is he going to ask you, "My son, my daughter, what have you done?" Or maybe you'll see through that gaze, "All of this I'll do for you, and I've done it for you, and I would do it again for you." Another thief called Dismas, according to a certain tradition, first met Jesus in a very strange way. When the Holy Family had to flee from Bethlehem, had to flee to Egypt, they had to travel a long ways to get to Egypt. And the roads in those days could be very dangerous because of burglars or thieves who waited along the road to jump to attack the defenseless who were traveling and steal whatever they could. Imagine how Saint Joseph, Mary, the child Jesus set out for Egypt, and they had to set out at night without they weren't able to prepare that trip well. They set out at night in poverty, alone, along those roads. The poverty of Jesus, the poverty of his life. Are we also ready to accept the austerity or the poverty that God asks of us? That we need to be able to detach us from the things of the world, to be able to give our heart completely to him. So the Holy Family was traveling towards Egypt along the route. And at one point they passed by an area where there were thieves hidden. And one thief that was in the area spotted the Holy Family traveling. And he snuck close to the trail, ready to jump, ready to attack this small group of travelers walking along the road. But according to this tradition, just as he was about to attack them, and they were close to where he was hiding, the child Jesus looked his way, and his eyes met with the eyes of the child Jesus. And he was penetrated by that gaze. And in that moment, he changed his plans to rob, to attack that simple family. And he actually came out of the brush, which probably scared the Holy Family. And he told him, come with me. And this is a dangerous area, and I'll help you. And for some reason, the Holy Family trusted him, and he actually helped them through that area and to avoid any of the other thieves that lived in that area. Well, this saint, the same thief, Dismas, or Demas, I think you say that, this same thief, is the thief that was crucified with our Lord at his side. According to this tradition, it looks like he had a long history of being a criminal. And when he was at the cross, after a long life of stealing and who knows what else, he recognized in Jesus, that Jesus who had walked through Galilee, that so many people had gazed upon, that so many people had heard preach. One woman proclaimed, as we read in the gospel, everything he has done well. Everything he did well. He did nothing deserving of the passion that he suffered. And this Demas saw Jesus on the cross, and then he finally recognized that Jesus on the cross was the same Jesus, that same child that he had seen so many years before. This can help us to meditate. It can help us meditate on the gaze of Jesus now in his passion. Today, this morning, when he's being brought before Pilate, when he's being scourged, when he's brought out before the Jews who are mad, who are crazy, who are bloodthirsty, and he's all scourged, and Pilate says, "Behold the man! Behold what's become of him." If we think about the gaze of Jesus first as a baby, this gaze later when he was a young man, a strong, mature man who traveled through Judea, through Galilee, in his public mission, who healed, who preached, who forgives sins and gave sinners a new life. First gaze, first remember all those things. Now look at him. Look at him in his passion. And let his face covered with blood, his head crowned with thorns, let that face turn towards you. Let that gaze rest upon you. Let that gaze penetrate inside you. Let it discover all that's in you. Lastly, the third thief of the meditation today. Some of you may not know, but Billy the Kid actually had a very interesting relationship with a Sister of Charity, who at the same time that he was stealing, and he was living in the area of Colorado, New Mexico, he had an encounter with this Sister of Charity. And after he ran into her running from one place to the other, and he stopped dead, stopped in his tracks before her. And she began to talk to him. And they met several times, actually, providentially. One time he was going to attack a caravan, but when he found out that she was in it, he actually called off the robbery, and he began to talk with her. And she, her name was Rose Maria Segale. She was from Italy, but her family had immigrated to the United States. And she says that when you looked in his eyes, they were wild eyes, but you saw too that he wasn't all bad, or he wasn't bad at heart. But she had later found out that he had first begun his life as a criminal when he was 13, and someone insulted his mother and he killed him in revenge. But she talked with Billy the Kid, and she talked to him about the mercy of God and why doesn't he leave his life as a criminal? Why doesn't he leave it all? And he said, or basically he explained, that he does believe in God, but that he didn't trust God. He didn't trust that God would forgive him. He didn't trust in God's goodness. He thought that God could only punish him at that point. But she talked to him, and she actually talked to him about Demas, that Saint Demas, the good thief who asked Christ to remember him when he enters into his kingdom. And Christ said to him, "This day you will be with me in paradise." She talked to him about St. Demas. He listened, but he went on. Finally, he was shot, and he died agonizing in the road for hours. And I wonder if maybe in that time, he finally asked the Lord for forgiveness. Or he asked the Lord also, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." Who knows if in heaven we'll find Billy the Kid. We hear lots of stories about him. He seems more like a fictional character than a real character, but he was a real person. Each one of us here are a real persons with our own free will, with the ability to make decisions for good or for bad in our life, to do good or to do evil, with God's help or without it, leaving it aside. Why wait? Why wait until you're in the road agonizing. And you don't even know if you'll have that opportunity to give him your life, to give him your heart, when he so meekly asks it of you, when he so meekly wants to get everything, wants to give you his grace, wants to give you the dignity of being sons of the Father, daughters of the Father. Why not be more like Padre Higinio, who had the grace of converting before, converting as a young man, and then dedicating his life to the good of the youth, to the good of so many people that he's helped? Why not dedicate my life to service, to love, to helping others also know the Lord that I've known that has conquered my heart? Why go down the road that the world is offering me? John, St. John, the apostle and the evangelist, says in his first letter, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Father Higinio, in the time he was a young criminal, Demas, Billy, they all went down the road that the world offers them: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Where was it taking them? If we should, we may not be thieves ourselves, but are we going down that road? Is that what's growing or winning over in me, the world or the Father? In this time of prayer, may each of us ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. May you all look, especially for a moment, when you can see the face of Jesus, when he let him look at you. What do you discover in that gaze? What does he tell you? What does he discover in you? And ask him to remove whatever he finds in you. Let him sculpt you with his gaze and remove whatever should be removed, so that his likeness begins to appear in you. May that gaze transform us. Now, in this time of prayer, each person asks the Holy Spirit to be able to, and may the Holy Spirit guide each person in their meditation to draw close to the Lord and feel or see that pain, that sadness, but also that love, with which he looks at us.